Jason Big Joe, 102.5, the game on this Tuesday. We're live at La Madeline in Mount Juliet. But continuing the Predators discussion, and we want to hear from you. We know that you you guys want to talk about it and vent, but unfortunately the playoff run or hopes come to an end last night against the San Jose Sharks. And to talk more about that, we bring in Predators analyst for FanDuel Sports and Nashville Predators, Chris Mason, who is on the line with us. Mace, appreciate you doing this. And unfortunately, one game left, but no playoffs this year.
Yeah, you know, it was a heck of a ride, to be honest. And, you know, I'm part of the crew that I thought at the trade deadline, and even at some points before that, I thought, you know, really, they didn't really have a realistic shot of getting there or anywhere near there. And at the deadline, it was, you know, I thought, all right, well, we're going to get a chance to see some young guys, but there's no way that they're going to make a run to the playoffs, especially when you look at the schedule and all those types of things. But these guys did. I mean, that was an impressive run. And for them to be, you know, in it until the very second last game of the year, I thought was an incredible run and just a testament to the guys in that room, the veteran players that kind of kept that belief when, you know, not a lot of people, I don't know if anybody outside of the locker room and the coaching staff and the organization thought they would get there, and they almost did. And I just think when you look at that, I know some people in the media made fun of the meaningful hockey quote. They said that a lot. And, you know, I know that a lot of people didn't think that they would be playing meaningful hockey, but when you look at the games that they played and the value that all those young players got from that run and seeing, you know, Steven Stamkos and Ryan O'Reilly and all those veterans go through what is essentially a playoff, you know, style of game to try to get into the playoffs and all the commitment that goes into it. I think, you know, you had a really good situation and a good season. That's something they should be proud of. They didn't get in, but that was a good season, a lot of benefit out of it, in my opinion.
There are a lot of things we're going to talk about, Chris, you know, over the course of the next few weeks to kind of break down the season. But I do want to start with something that you could give your expertise on because you've been in this situation as a goaltender. You had both goalies playing well at the end of the season. And going with Juuse Saarinen last night in the last few games, to me, was not an indictment of UC Saros. It was more of you're riding the hot hand, and the way that Saarinen has played, he deserved more playing time. And so it was more kudos to him than anything else. But how do you feel like Andrew Brunette, the coaching staff, handled the goalies down the stretch, knowing that you had both of them playing at a pretty high level?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you could look at every game. I think personally that was the right call. I've been in this situation, and I think anybody, you know, internally, when you're going that you need to win that game, I think it's your duty as a coach to give your team the best chance to win that hockey game. And to me, as you said, it's no indictment of UC Saros. He's playing great, but Juuse Saarinen was just at a level that, you know, you had to recognize and you had to, you know, give your guys the best chance to win that game on that night. And I think it was him. So both guys were good. I mean, UC Saros has been in that situation, you know, before when Pekka was, you know, kind of at the end. I'm not saying UC's at the end, but in, you know, when he was taking over that number one spot and throughout the season, I mean, you gotta give it to the guy that's going. I've been there when, you know, when a guy's playing good or playing, especially the way on it, it's not like he was just playing good. He was playing out of his mind. He's probably the hottest goaltender in the National Hockey League. Saros obviously wants to play. He was playing well, but I think, you know, you can understand the decision. So I think that, you know, ultimately that was the right decision. Preds weren't able to score, really generate much offense last night. It was definitely not Juuse Saarinen. I thought he played another solid game. But, you know, I thought that's the right play at the end of the season there.
Chris Mason is with us on the show. Chris, good talking to you, buddy. How have we been doing?
Doing good, bud. Been a heck of a season. Been a grind, but a fun team to follow. How about yourself, big boy?
I was listening one night and on TNT, I think it was, and then I heard you call on the game. I think it was Edmonton and somebody. So I was like, I know that guy. So I was very proud of you.
Thanks, Joe. I appreciate it, buddy. We've got some good chats, and I appreciate you. Always. Always.
Sure, man. Always. Hey, let me ask you this, and then Chase asked the really good questions about the season, the team. I want to ask about – I'm not a fan, Chris, of pulling the goalie. I, I'm not. I know the extra attacker. Where do you stand on that? I just knew last night when they pulled him out of goal and get the extra attack, I was like, this is not going to end good. And it hardly ever ends well. Am I missing the point on this, Chris?
Honestly, I go back and forth with that all the time because, I don't know, for whatever reason, this year it seems like, you know, the Preds just haven't had much success with the goalie pulled. And I know, you know, like everything else in hockey, it's very analytically based, and they go on the percentages and you do increase your odds. But I agree with you. I think so many times now you see so many empty net goals and it just doesn't work out. But I guess at the end of the day, it gives you the best chance of getting that goal. It also increases your chance of giving up a goal, which I don't know how you measure that, but I don't know. It just seems like it just hasn't worked out this year for the Preds. And I haven't really looked around the league, but it's always a tough one. Obviously, you're going to get the puck more. You're going to put more pressure. But if that puck gets into the neutral zone, it's almost, you know, it seems like every time we get a goal scored. So I don't know. I've been going back and forth to you, Joe. I don't really have a definitive answer for you, though.
I understand it. All right, can this be a problem, the two goalies and who's going to start and this and that, as we head into the off season and into the preseason and the next year? Could this be a distraction, Chris?
I don't think so. I mean, when you're playing at this level in this league, I think you're going to get that every year at every position, and I think that's good. I think when you go in, you should have healthy competition, and that's where when you get a goaltender like Justus Onanen when he was, you know, 24, 25 years old, you're hoping that you get to this position as an organization where this young goaltender is growing, he's getting better, and he's pushing, you know, the number one guy. And for the number one guy, which is UC Saros, you know, that competition it's a healthy thing. These guys are friends. You know, they are competing for that one net, and they both want to play. And I know Saros wants that net, and Onanen wants to play as well. And that doesn't affect their friendship. These guys are, you know, probably their biggest cheerleaders, but that doesn't mean they're not competing against each other and themselves really to get that playing time. I don't think it creates a problem at all. I actually think it's a good thing if you have two guys, you know, fighting for that net. And, you know, down the road, depending on what decisions have to be made, when you have two good goaltenders, you know, that's opens up some options as well down the road for, you know, getting assets or that type of thing as well. So I think it's good.
Chris, we got a new GM's going to come in, and some fans are like, oh, no. But some fans are like, hey, this could be a good thing, a rebirth, you know, a kind of exciting time for the Nashville Predators. Do you see when a Preds fan says it could be an exciting new adventure for this team? Do you understand what they're talking about?
Yeah, I really do. I think, you know, this is an opportunity for the organization when, you know, Barry announced that he wasn't coming back, for them to really, you know, like they've done, take the time, interview everybody they think could be a viable option. You know, there's so much emphasis on, you know, the analytic part of it. I think, you know, they could bring maybe more than one person in the organization, but it's going to give them an opportunity to really identify that one guy, you know, that can really, you know, be the person that in the direction that they want to go. And I think, you know, Barry Trotz, and I think, has done a really good job, and, you know, Jeff Kelce and Scott Niffle and everybody in the scouting staff, of giving this new general manager, you know, a nice canvas to work with. You've got lots of draft picks. You've got, you know, some veteran players that have expiring contracts. You've got young, you know, young up and comers that are playing really well. And I think, you know, that person, whoever they decide on, is going to have some good opportunity to really kind of do what he wants to do, whether he, you know, tries to trade, you know, veteran players. You have Steven Stamkos coming off just an unbelievable year. You know, you have Ryan O'Reilly, who is at the end of his contract, who, you know, probably could get a pretty penny at the draft and things like that. Or they decide they want to keep those guys, but they've also got lots of draft picks. They could either, you know, keep stock in the cupboards, or you could package up some of those along with some of those other players. And, you know, you've got versatility is what I'm saying. So I think it's exciting to see who they pick and then what the vision is of that general manager moving forward for this team here in the near future. It's it is exciting for sure.
Chris Mason is with us on the Chase and Big Joe show, kind of building off that, you know, some of the young guys that we got to see. I felt like, you know, even though you missed the McCarron and a Cole Smith and some of the guys that were traded at the deadline, you know, what we saw out of Schaefer and Joachim Kimmel towards the end and Ufko and some of these young guys that came in make me feel confident that, you know, they're going to continue to grow and be pretty good players for this team for years to come. What was kind of your evaluation of those youngsters?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, ideally it's the direction the team had to go. You know, I know they tried to make other moves at the deadline, and, you know, I know some people were upset that certain players didn't get traded, and it wasn't because they didn't try to do that, but it opened up a lot of opportunity to see what these players are all about. And I think, you know, to me, the biggest one, I think, was Matt Wood moving to center. I think for him to go there and have success at that position the way that he did, I still think, you know, when I watch him play, I think he's only going to get better. I think he could really, you know, shoot the puck more, and I think there's more to his game. I think he's going to put on, you know, man strength and size as he gets a little bit older here. So that was really exciting for me. I thought Zach LaRue came up, did a really good job. I think we all know what kind of player he is. He's got a little bit of skill. He's that, you know, kind of rat that'll get in there and stir it up. I think for Schaefer, I think he's got some tools there. I think for him, I think he maybe has to, you know, realize and take the next step in asserting his size and using his physicality a little bit more. But I think he's got, for a big man, he skates well, he's got skill. That's not an easy role to come up as a young kid and do in this league. But I think for him, I think, you know, after having seen it, I think he can, you know, evaluate and come back bigger and stronger and be able to do that. And then Joachim Kimmel, I thought he got better as that season went on. And you can see that, you know, there's some glimmer there for a young 21-year-old to keep taking strides forward. So I thought it was a great opportunity to see a lot of those young guys, you know, in especially in the games that they're playing. Every night was a playoff game for this team. It wasn't like you're going down and like last year, they were pretty much out of it in January and you're playing the games and it's not the same expectations and pressure night in, night out. And I think those young players did a heck of a job going down the stretch. And, you know, moving forward, I think that's, you got a good base, especially with Matt Wood at center. I think that was huge.
Chris, as we let you go, prediction for the Stanley Cup final, what two teams do you think will meet up that you've seen this year that are the best?
Oh, man, I don't know. I think this might be the hardest year. I think out of the East, I honestly think anyone in the Eastern Conference could come out. That's how good I think it is. I would love to see Buffalo. I don't know. Montreal look good. You can never obviously count out Tampa, but I honestly think every team, like Philadelphia, Boston, all these teams, I think have a chance in the East. Out of the West, I can't not see it being Colorado, to be honest with you. I think if they get going and they get their game up to the level that, you know, their top level, I don't think anybody can compete with them, but the only thing is, you know, Colorado, Dallas and Minnesota are probably going to kill each other in the first round. Then they got to play Colorado. So I think whoever gets out of that, if it's, you know, Colorado, Dallas or Minnie, whoever gets out of that second round, I think is going to be the representative for the West in the Cup final. In the East, there's just too many teams. I literally think everyone that's in the East has a chance.
Chris, appreciate it as always, and obviously a great job by you and everybody on the team this year on the broadcast crew. Always love watching and listening, and looking forward to Scripps Media and all of that next year. It's going to be a lot of fun, but thanks so much for joining us today.
All right, thanks, Phil. It was great talking to you. Take care.
Absolutely. Chris Mason joining us here on the program, affectionately known as C-Mace.
And, big time.
Does a great job with Willie and Kara and Hal and Lindsay and everybody involved in that crew. And what we want to do now is 615-737-1025. What's the first thing you want to see happen besides the obvious of a new GM being named? When the new GM gets in here, what's the first move in your opinion? 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion from La Madeline and Mount Juliet here at 102.5 The Game.